Andrew, good morning.
Hey, Tess, how are you?
I'm going really well. How are you?
Yep, good.
Good.
Yeah.
Done.
I'll say so.
I'm glad to hear. What are we chatting about this week?
Okay, so it is about that time of the year when I need to remind everyone that there's another book club in town.
Ooh.
So over at Final Draft, I have a regular spot called the Australian Classics Book Club. Every month, I get together with a panel of people much cleverer than I am, and we look into a work of Australian or Antipodean writing, and we explore what makes it important to who we are as a country. So we're a few chapters into the book club so far this year, which means that there is plenty for people to discover over at the podcast. Like, you could always check out our first book club book, which featured John Clark's The Tournament.
Oh, cool.
Yes, and it is. Yes, it is that John Clark.
That John Clark.
It's that John Clark, beloved satirist of our political life, and man, most missed as we lead into another shambles of a political dogfight in May.
Oh, would have had so much fun with that.
Go to YouTube and just the Clark and Dawes stuff. I mean, some of it's 4 years old, some of it's 10 years old. All of it is still relevant because, you know, the bin fire that is Canberra most days apparently doesn't change all that much.
Apparently not. Oh, good Lord. Can you imagine if we still had Clark and Dawes running? It's almost as if in tribute, Parliament has just decided to run its own Clark and Dawes sketch.
Yeah, yeah. They're just cycling. But I'll bring us back to the tournament. So the tournament is this absurdist melange of sport, philosophy and historical analysis. So the concept is all the greatest minds of the 20th century have descended on Paris for the tournament, a Grand Slam tennis match par excellence. So get ready to watch as Ernest Hemingway faces off against Vincent van Gogh, while MC Escher returns serve from the net while simultaneously backhanding from the baseline.
Incredible.
It's bizarre and wonderful. I actually was joined on that episode by Text Publishing's publisher, Michael Hayward. So he was actually an editor for John Clark. And so it was really great to get some insights into the man, into the writing, and just the place that this book occupies. It's not an old book. I think that's probably coming up to its 20th birthday. It was written around 2001, but it's just so immediate and so important in a strange way because it's very international, but it really helps us see who we are. Now, our second episode, which has just gone up, is Fishing in the Sticks. This is a memoir, an autobiographical memoir of Ruth Park's writing life. And I started Fishing in the Sticks sort of worried that I wasn't familiar enough with Ruth Park's terrific literary output. I knew that there was always a copy of, say, The Harp in the South on the bookshelf at home, but I kind of had only vague memories of flicking through it. Then as I read and I encountered The Muddle-Headed Wombat and Playing Beady Bow, I realized that while my memories were unreliable, because apparently as a child I was just woefully ignorant that there were these things called authors creating these books, Ruth Park had circled around my early reading life. So Ruth Park was this terrifically prolific writer. From her arrival in Sydney, so she was a New Zealander, she was born in 1917, arrived in Sydney, I think in the late 30s. Her marriage to Darcy Nyland, who was her love and her literary partner, Fishing in the Sticks is this portrait of a writer amongst writers and illustrates the hardship and the extraordinary creativity it took to live the writing life in Sydney through the middle of the 20th century. Throughout Fishing in the Sticks, Park comments on how a writer must be diverse if they want to make a living. So they wrote children's stories and radio plays and journalism. Certain readers might hear the names Ruth Park and Darcy Nyland and think The Harp in the South and The Shira Lee, which are the two novels that they're most known for. Really, these are just the tip and not even the most personally regarded of the writer's work. I was actually really surprised. They both had to encourage the other to write these novels that now, for so many people, that is what they associate the name. And they wrote them for things like literary competitions, and it was really just another job to try and pay the rent. So literary frustration played this role in shaping Park's life. Her initial plan of taking a job on a newspaper in San Francisco was actually prevented by the outbreak of war. She was never meant to settle in Sydney. But this also led to her relationship with Darcy Nyland. He, in his own way, both supported and hindered her writing, and with his strong will and his capricious ways, he'd often leave and go bush on a research mission for one of his pieces, leaving her with their various, at various times, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 children. And then there is a reception that she received as a woman. Park attributes much of the negative response to The Harp in the South, not to the subject matter, and particularly the portrayals of Irish Catholics and the depictions of Sydney's slums, so much as to the public not wanting to hear about this subject matter from a woman.
Well, we are terrible. We clearly have... I don't know where I'm going with this.
It's almost like, well, you know, these terrible things can't be coming from the pen and the mouth of you know, the fragile...
It's
worth reading... Well, I'm telling you it's worth reading the book. but that section where she talks about how... It's really like Sydney's always had trolls. The internet just gave them somewhere else to hang out. People wrote these absolutely terrible letters to her, and she couldn't bear to read many of them until decades later. And it was only then that she got this insight into all of this criticism that she was receiving and realized that it was not so much anything to do with what she was saying, but the fact that she, as a woman, was saying it. And The anger and the frustration, but also the confusion, is palpable in her writing.
Okay.
So Fishing in the Sticks is this illuminating portrait of Park, as well as Sydney, and of the writing life as a whole. Anyone who's interested in writing will get something out of this. And that is the Australian Classics Book Club. It is a great way to explore Australia's literary traditions. There is an archive of several years that I'm working on getting up somewhere so that people can... look back, they can discover more great Australian books. For now, though, if you want to discover the Australian Classics Book Club, there are our first two episodes for 2019, John Clark's The Tournament and Ruth Park's Fishing in the Sticks. They're on the Great Conversations podcast right now. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or go to 2SER.com and find them there.
Thanks so much, Andrew.
See you later, Tess.